Support comes from ARC Industries, providing business solutions to Columbus's industrial, retail, and commercial markets, and helping people with disabilities find meaningful work. ARC Industries, dedicated to the success of its customers, employees, and community. ARC Industries is online at arcind.com.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In March, veteran phys ed teacher Carla Hale lost her job at Bishop Watterson High School. Hale was fired after she acknowledged her life partner, a woman, in her mother's obituary. Since then, there have been demonstrations, petitions, and a Facebook page, all led one way or another by Watterson students, their parents, and alumni, and attracting a much larger audience in Central Ohio and around the world. And since then, Carla Hale has filed a grievance through the Catholic Teachers Union and a complaint with the city of Columbus. What she wants is her job back. Coming up, we'll hear from a constitutional law professor about Carla's options and potential outcomes. And we'll hear from another lawyer who supports the Catholic Diocese of Columbus and the bishop's decision to fire Hale from her job of 19 years. We also sought an interview with someone from Watterson or the diocese. George Jones, Director of Communications for the Catholic Diocese of Columbus, responded, "Thank you for your request. Unfortunately, it is felt it would be inappropriate for the diocese to enter into an open forum discussing specific issues of this pending grievance." Joining us now is Carla Hale. Welcome to the show, Carla.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Ann.
Your decision to recognize your partner in your mother's obituary, was that made with the knowledge that there could be repercussions at work?
Honestly, the morning my mom died was just kind of such a just array of emotions that we were literally at the funeral home an hour after my mom passed, and my brother and I were sitting there trying to think of what needed to be done and going through the, you know, the obituary, and my brother's older than me, so, you know, his wife was listed, obviously, he's the oldest, and then it was just very natural that Julie was included, but it wasn't done, like, thinking, like, some sort of conscious process. It was just natural.
And no one said, oh, geez, maybe we should think about this. It just moved on to the next paragraph in the
exactly,
obituary.
Exactly, the next in line, the kids, this, that, what needed to be done. And then it was probably an hour and a half after we left the funeral home when we got back to the house and were thinking about the next things that needed to be done, when it was kind of like, you know, this is what just took place. And Julie was the one that asked if this is what we really should do. And at that point in time, my brother and I were just kind of like, yes, Julie's part of the family. My mom loved Julie. She's always been there for my kids. And so she needed to be included in this time of grief.
And she's been part of your family for how many years?
15 years.
Bishop Frederick Campbell, in an interview with the Columbus Dispatch, said that the main issue for the church is to maintain the Catholic values of the institutions under his purview. It's not your sexual orientation. Rather, it's the idea that you're living with someone, regardless of sexual orientation, in a committed but unmarried relationship. Is that how you understand their objections?
Well, I was specifically fired, terminated because of my immoral behavior. So I don't deem what I'm doing immoral. The agreement that I signed did not specifically say that I would comply with and act consistently with the philosophy and all of the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church.
Okay. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And my guest right now, Carla Hale, she is the teacher who was dismissed, fired from her job at Bishop Watterson High School because she included in the obituary for her mother reference and acknowledgement of her partner. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also join the conversation on our Facebook page. Remember to let us know if you support the church, if you support Carla's position, so that we can make sure that we air a balanced selection of comments. Once again, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You were fired, Carla, after an anonymous parent, someone anonymously, I should say, complained to the diocese, and I think the school principal, that your partner's name was listed in your mother's obituary in February. Have parents complained to you or about you before regarding your relationship with your partner?
No.
Never. No one's ever said anything?
Never.
Did you include her in school activities ever?
No. Julie and I are very private people, and it was, you know, when I was at school, I was a teacher and a coach. And that's, she was never there with me.
But did you try to keep it secret? If someone had asked you? Or?
If a student had approach me about that, that's, you know, that has nothing to do with my abilities to teach nor coach. I was never approached by any student nor any other faculty member about my sexual orientation.
So who knows? How do you know how you're going to respond, I suppose? Did you ever think about it?
No, I really didn't give it that much thought.
Okay. 614-292-8513. Dina from Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dina.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wanted to see if I could understand the position that Ms. Hale's coming from.
Okay, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. I wanted to know, why is it so important to get the diocese to change their ruling if their ruling is based on the magisterium, which is the teachings of the Catholic Church?
Is that what you're shooting for, Carla? To change their ruling?
Well, I definitely want to be back at Watterson High School teaching.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they would have to change something to take you back?
I don't teach religion. I have great respect for the separation of the church and the state. But my duties were purely secular in nature.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dina, for that call. We may get to that a little bit later. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Has the school ever brought it up generally, Carla, in conversation with teachers about what the moral standing of the church is on issues like, same-sex relationships, anything like that?
No. It's very vague. I mean, obviously, the agreement states that we're not to engage in any sort of immoral behavior, which... me identifying Julie as my partner in an obituary, that was not immoral in any way, shape, or form. Unfortunately, if we start looking at faculty and staff, there's probably a lot of things that are being done within all schools, not just Bishop Watterson, but all Catholic schools, that do not go along with the teachings and the philosophy of the Catholic Church.
Georgia in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Georgia.
Thanks very much. Ms. Hale, I'm sorry you're put in this position. I'm sure you never intended to be the poster child for the last bastion of bigotry. But leaving aside that question, what concerns me here is that we keep trying to cut organized religion some kind of slack, and I can't imagine why we should. I think it's their responsibility to fit into our legal structure, and we wouldn't put up with this if it had to do with race or gender, and I don't see that this situation is any different.
All right. Thank you very much, Georgia.
Thanks.
Dan in Columbus, you're on the air. You support the church's decision. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
And Ms. Hale, just wanted to call to say we love you. And, you know, as we are called to love one another, and we do love one another in the Catholic Church, but when a person is given authority by the diocese to teach students in a Catholic setting and publicly displays that they're going against the Catholic Church and its teachings on a school that was founded by the Church, the integrity and the teachings of the Church is being challenged. And I'm sorry that, you know, unfortunately, you know, this happened to you. But I think it's at a point where the challenge was done publicly. And I just want to pray for you and for us. I know everyone is hurting, that that we can work through this. And I know that all things are possible through Jesus Christ.
Do you think that there's a way for Carla Hale to get her job back?
You know, I'm going to leave that up to the diocese.
Okay.
And the bishop.
All right.
To work through that.
Okay.
But I just pray for you, Carla, that that you're okay.
Thank you, Dan.
And I just want you to know that there are people in the church that love you, and the bishop is acting as our father. Sometimes we don't always want to hear what our parents want to tell us. But in the end, they are our parents, and we have to respect that. So God loves you.
Thanks for your call, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, my guest is Carla Hale. She is the teacher that was fired in March from Bishop Watterson High School because she named her life partner, part of her family, in the obituary for her mother. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. Make sure that you tell our screener if you support Carla's point of view or if you support the church's point of view or some other iteration so that we can make sure we have a balanced showing on the air. 614-292-8513 is the number. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org or you can go to our Facebook page and join the conversation there. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Jane Clayson. Coming up on the next On Point, housing prices break out of their slump. We'll look at the rebound and what it means for the nation's recovery. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 67 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine with a high near 81 today. Clear skies tonight and a low of 57 degrees. Mostly sunny for Thursday with a high of 78. Support for 89.7 comes from the Women's Fund of Central Ohio, presenting America Fiera for the 2013 Keyholder event on May 9th at the Ohio Theater. Tickets and more information online at womensfundcentralohio.org. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In March, Carla Hale was fired from her longtime teaching job at Bishop Watterson High School after a parent anonymously complained that in Hale's mother's obituary, Carla Hale had listed her life partner as part of the family. In response to our request for an interview with someone from the school or the Catholic Diocese of Columbus, a spokesman for the diocese said that, quote, it is felt that it would be inappropriate for the diocese to enter into an open forum discussing specific issues of this pending grievance, end quote. Coming up, we'll hear from a local lawyer who supports the diocese decision in this case. Still with us is Carla Hale. She's a phys ed teacher who taught at Bishop Watterson for 19 years. And joining us now is Mark Spindelman, a professor at OSU's Moritz College of Law. Among his specialties, family law and constitutional law. Welcome back to the program, Mark.
And thanks for having me.
First of all, is there anything going back into that last segment that came up that you wanted to address?
Yeah, so there are two things. The first is the idea that the decision about Ms. Hale's employment, that it was based on her relationship status and not her sexual orientation is an important and interesting kind of claim. I think it's understandable to see how, if one sees it as a form of relationship-based decision-making, that the decision presumably would have been the same if it had been a cross-sex couple involved where there wasn't a marriage.
Living together
yeah. in a relationship. But what I think is hard for some people to understand, and we're thinking a little bit about, is whether the church's position really is, in a sense, that same-sex relationships are the same as cross-sex relationships, or whether they really are different. And in the case of the cross-sex couple living outside of matrimony, of course, the opportunity and the possibility of entering into it is something that's both legally and within the church, given the standard kinds of contours, permissible. And so in that sense, cross-sex relationships don't actually seem to be on the same footing as same-sex relationships, or same-sex relationships don't seem to be on the same footing as cross-sex relationships. So that there's something distinctive about the fact that that it was Ms. Hale's partner, a woman, who was mentioned in the newspaper.
Point being that cross-sex relationships, they can marry if they want to. In same-sex relationships, in Ohio at least, they're not allowed to marry.
Right. And also...
Is that the footing you're talking about?
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, it seems that there's something distinctive about this, even though the idea is that this is about the relationship status. To say it's about the relationship status is a way of trying to say it's not about sexual orientation, when, of course, sexual orientation is completely bound up with the relationship status that was at issue here.
Carla Hale has filed a grievance through the Catholic Teachers Union and a complaint with the City of Columbus. First of all, let's talk about the city ordinance that addresses employment and sexual orientation. The bishop has said that it's not her orientation, but her relationship, just as we were talking about. How does the city ordinance figure in this equation?
Yep. So the city has an anti-discrimination ordinance that appears to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation, and that doesn't appear to contain an exception for religious institutions by its express terms. So part of what is going to be coming up in the conversation about the ordinance and how and whether it applies is whether there, notwithstanding the way that the ordinance happens to be written, whether there's some form of protection that this church has against the enforcement of the anti-discrimination ordinance because of the exactly what the earlier caller was asking about the religious views and the doctrine of the church that it is suggesting is at issue in the decision that the church made.
Carla, in your mind, I mean, was there any question that you would file these grievances once you had gone back to the school and once it was very, very clear they were going to stand by their decision?
Was there any question to go forward with the grievance? No.
Right. No. With the teachers union as well as the city ordinance. Okay, so let's talk about the Catholic Teachers Union. How much weight does that carry? Do we know? Is there any record of someone succeeding in this score in the past?
Not to my knowledge.
So when you're asking that, Anna, do you mean are there other instances in which folks have been in situations sort of similar to?
Yes.
There are anti-discrimination laws on the books, and those anti-discrimination laws protect against discrimination on a variety of grounds. And so even there have been other instances in which people who've worked for Catholic schools and other religious institutions whose employment has been ended created by the institution. And the idea is that that those decisions have violated existing anti-discrimination laws, and there have been challenges of various forms, sorts brought forward, claiming by the Church of the Religious Organization that their decision to terminate employment was justified on religious grounds, and so the anti-discrimination laws can't, in a sense, boss the churches or the religious organizations around. They can't dictate in matters of conscience or faith.
Some have suggested that the wisest course is to show that the church does not invoke this contract uniformly. In other words, there's and not just between same-sex or cross-sex relationships, but let's just stick with same-sex relationships now, that not everybody who was in a position that Carla was in, that across the country, across the state, across the diocese has not necessarily been uniformly invoked, and that would be the wisest course to show that.
Well, so that showing would be important in two different ways. One is, if it can be made out, one is to show that there was something perhaps selective about the enforcement of the rules of the faith in this particular case, and then the other, as a matter of showing socially that there was something unfair, which all you have to do is hear the story to understand the unfairness sort of on all sorts of levels. But the other thing it might do is point out that there was something that was inconsistent about the applicability of the rules that marks this decision in Ms. Hale's case as distinctive or special in ways that the law ought to recognize.
Davis and Columbus, you're on the air.
Yes. My main thing is I stay with the church and stay with the Bible. Okay, I'm not of the Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Baptist. Okay? But the main thing of it is we stay with the Word of God. The Word of God says what's right and what's wrong. Now, whether same sex, sin is sin, no matter how you look at it. Okay, if it was a man that was unmarried, and a woman that's unmarried, or this,
and living together, you're saying, or
living what? Together, or mm-hmm. however they're doing it these days, it's still wrong.
Okay.
Okay. And bottom line, I mean, the Bible is right. The Torah does not change.
Well, we're not really discussing gay marriage or gay relationships or that kind of thing. We're talking about what Carla's rights may or may not be in terms of employment.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But I understand that.
So we want to talk about that.
Okay. The point is that it's a part of the church. The church is a part of the Bible. The church is based on the Bible. And the church has the responsibility to adhere to the teachings of the Word of God.
Okay.
And if we're not following, if the church has these standards mm-hmm. that they're supposed to be following, then everybody that comes and works in the church would have the responsibility to follow the rules that have been put down that they're following according to the Word of God.
All right, Davis.
I have nothing against this sister at all. Let her go ahead on do her thing. And, I mean, she's a teacher. Fine, teach. Okay? But, I don't hate her.
Davis, I don't want to cut you off. I hope you made your
you
point.
Got a lot of
and I got a lot. You got that right. So thank you very much, Davis.
Everybody got a plan.
We got to get a few more in here. So thanks for your call, though. Thank you very much. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Carla in Clintonville, you're on the air.
Hi.
You're going to have to turn off your radio.
There
you go.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I found it very unchristian-like that the person had to anonymously put this information out there and couldn't talk to Ms. Hale face-to-face. It's none of her business, and I just want to let her know that a couple of my friends have changed their cover pictures, and we support you. And we love you, even though we don't know you, but we love you. And I'm so proud of your students going ahead and petitioning and doing everything because they love you too. So,
okay, Beth.
Want to share that. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. We have some emails from Odie on Facebook, who supports the church. Yes, the church is absolutely correct. The true matter here is that people have become like sheep that just easily accept the unacceptable, the unnatural, and the lifestyle that is against the law of nature and the law of all religions. People think that they are enlightened and advanced because they have an acceptance of homosexuality, when in reality they are welcoming crazy lifestyles and even crazier lifestyles to come. Okay, that's kind of going off on sort of a tangent there, but the question is whether or not what the church's role is in society in terms of recognizing the laws. And some people have said, well, they just can't pick and choose when they want to have a separation of church and state. I think that would be Trevor's point of view, right, Trevor?
Excuse me?
Do you think that the church just can't pick and choose? Is that what you're...
Right. Yeah, I mean, one of the callers had mentioned that he thinks that she was fired for biblical reasons, or that this is the church's doctrine, but I call nonsense. This is simply about bigotry. In the Bible, it says that to lie next to somebody of the same sex is an abomination in Leviticus, but right after that it says that eating shellfish is an abomination, and I don't see the Catholic Church firing people for eating a lobster. And at the same time, I mean, the fact that we have this kind of discrimination still around today in our democracy is unacceptable. I mean, the Mormon Church didn't accept black people until, what, the 1970s? And there's no way that we would allow that kind of similar kind of discrimination today. I mean, this is abhorrent, I think.
Okay. Trevor, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Mark Spindleman, law professor in the studio with me right now. Also, Carla Hale, the teacher that was fired from Bishop Watterson School. Mark, can we go over a little bit more about what sort of precedents are out there and what comes close to this? I can't believe this hasn't been dealt with already.
Sure.
So
one of the big questions that comes up is, in a sense, what is the capacity in which Ms. Hale was acting as a teacher? Was she in her capacity teaching doctrine? Was she in her capacity teaching matters of the faith? Or was she a purely secular teacher who didn't come near that? So the reason that that matters is because insofar as the church has the authority, in a sense, to have what's sometimes described as a ministerial exception, an exception from the ordinary rules of anti-discrimination law, on the grounds that there's something centrally about the faith or the doctrine or the religious views that are at issue in a particular employment decision. Those decisions and that ability to get that exemption, which is constitutionally grounded, is one that applies where the person whose employment is at issue is, in a sense, a spokesperson for the faith, is a minister of or for the faith. And so there are clearly cases out there that talk about the boundaries of that exception, which is constitutionally grounded. And that's what's sort of lurking in the backdrop here of both sort of the particular case that that is sort of taking shape, but also of many of the questions. So some of the callers appear to hold the view, understandably enough, that insofar as this is a religious church, then anybody in any form of employment who works for the church must be willing to submit themselves to the dictates and doctrine of the church. Others say, well, look, you've got to have a more sensible line than that. You wouldn't say that somebody who comes in to fix the electricity in the building has to be or hold certain religious views or is precluded from being discriminated against as an employee because of their faith or how they live their lives outside of fixing the electricity.
But teachers traditionally have been sort of the paragons of virtue in a community. They've always been held up to a higher standard. Is that a legal thing or is that just a cultural thing?
Well both. Ms. Hale is a leader in the community. You see all the outpouring of affection and honor and respect for all of the work that she's done and all of the teaching that she's done. But so on that view, it's certainly the case. But that line of the sort of role model of teachers, I think, is the is the understanding that one might have if one were trying to defend what the church did, in the sense that you say, well, look, it doesn't matter whether they are teachers of religion. They're teachers and in a religious school. And on that view, they must live up to the highest ethical and moral standards as we defined them, we here being the institution. And so on that view, this is the reason why. Yeah, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
No. And Carla Hale, you're saying that they never went over explicitly in the what they mean in the contract when they say we use the word moral or morality.
No, we're just supposed to abide by moral behavior.
We're going to have to let you go in a few minutes. And before we do, I wanted to ask you about the outpouring of support and what you make of it and what it's been like in the last couple weeks since this sort of hit the airwaves.
It has overwhelmed me with the student support. I mean, I've always known that Bishop Watterson was a great place to be and teach, but unfortunately the death of my mom was what really brought this obviously all out, and just the things that the kids have said and the memories they have. Some of them I had kind of even forgotten myself, and then I'll go back and I will read something specific from one of the students and remember that exact moment when I had that conversation or, you know, had that moment with them. So that's been very refreshing and pretty much getting me through these next few weeks.
From Mark on Facebook, Mark asks, one might wonder, or says, one might wonder why she chose to work at a private Catholic school of all places when most states still don't even have workplace protections for public employees. I'm all for an Inclusive Employment Non-Discrimination Act, but there's still a lot of progress to be made. And others have said that, too. Why do you want to work at a place that doesn't want you?
The students want me back. The teachers, my fellow teachers, I believe most of them want me back. That's obviously where I have made a difference, and I have influenced far more students than I guess I thought I ever had. And so why wouldn't I want to go back there? I love Bishop Watterson.
19 years, about how many students do you think you've had over 19 years?
Ooh. Thousands. Between coaching and teaching, obviously thousands of students.
Did they offer you any kind of retirement opportunity, or was it strictly a firing situation?
No, that's not been discussed. The termination ended that particular day, but obviously I'd signed a contract through August, and so they're honoring that. But no discussion about retirement possibilities.
Well, Carla Hale, I want to thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate your participation in the show.
I thank you for the opportunity to be here.
It's Carla Hale. She is the phys ed teacher who was fired from her job after 19 years with Bishop Watterson High School because she included the name of her life partner in the obituary for her mother. When we return, we'll continue to consider the issues surrounding this case and include a lawyer who supports the church's decision to fire Carla Hale. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Hey, this is Peter Sagal, and I was wondering, you know, if you're not doing anything on May 2nd, would you like to go to the movies and see our show? Because we'll be simulcasting Wait Wait Live from New York City to theaters all over the country, and I thought it'd be, you know, fun if you could come. Maybe we'll get a soda after, if that's okay. That's Wait Wait Live in theaters on May 2nd.
For information and tickets, go to WOSU.org/waitwait. And this is 89.7 NPR News. Stay right here in just about 20 minutes. It's Wellness Wednesday, where the talk turns to stress and much more. That's All Sides with Ann Fisher for Wellness Wednesday from 11 till noon. And sunshine for today, a nice day with a high of 81 degrees. Clear skies tonight, dropping down to a comfortable low of 57. Sunny and back up to 78 for Thursday. Looking ahead to Friday, mostly sunny and a high of 76.
Support comes from Kappa, partnering with Ohio State's College of Arts and Sciences to bring the Royal Shakespeare Company to Columbus with their reimagined take on the Bard's classic, Julius Caesar, set in contemporary Africa, May 1st through the 5th at the Southern Theater. Details and tickets at kappa.com. All Sides continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In March, Carla Hale was fired from her teaching job at Bishop Watterson High School after a parent anonymously complained that in Hale's mother's obituary, Carla Hale had listed her life partner as a member of the family. In response to our request for an interview with someone from the school or the Catholic Diocese of Columbus, a spokesman for the diocese said that it, quote, felt it would be inappropriate for the diocese to enter into an open forum discussing specific issues of this pending grievance. Still with us is Mark Spindleman, professor, law professor at OSU Moritz College of Law. Mark, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me
again. And joining us now is Columbus lawyer Donald Bry. Don Bry has practiced law more than 30 years in the areas of litigation, administrative, and appellate practice, including a wide variety of constitutional and policy-related litigation matters. He's a partner with Taft, Stettinius, and Hollister. He is a board member of Catholics for Ohio and is a Knight of Malta. Welcome to the show, Don.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
The question here, one of openness. If Carla Hale had been discreet, there wouldn't be a problem?
Well, that actually is a judgment call for the folks that with whom she had the contract. As I understand it, she had voluntarily signed an agreement, or at least agreed to model Catholic moral teachings as a condition of her employment. Either from the beginning or at some later time, she decided she no longer was in a position where she thought she should do that. Apparently, she did not tell the school that she was acting in violation of her contract until she published it, really, to the whole world when she agreed to have that listed in the obit that you've mentioned earlier.
But when the bishop made his statement, or when the statement was made, well, in the Columbus Dispatch article that was published first online yesterday, the bishop said that it was more about the living in an unmarried relationship, living as if married when you're not married was more of the issue.
Well, I think that is the issue. Yeah, anyone who hasn't lived under a rock for the last 2,000 years probably is aware that the Catholic Church teaches that the act of marriage is only appropriate between a man and a woman who are married to each other. The Church does teach that, you know, people with same-sex attraction are not a negligible number and don't necessarily choose that, but nonetheless are called to live lives of chastity. And that, of course, is what she openly said she wasn't doing, and judging from her recent press conferences, she has no intention of doing that.
Let's talk about the city ordinance. Carla Hale has filed a complaint based on that ordinance. What are your thoughts about whether or not that does or doesn't apply and how it might or might not apply in this case?
You know, whether or not the ordinance in its drafting contains an exclusion to say people can still practice religion under the First Amendment rights, they can. You know, the city of Columbus cannot repeal the right of any religious institution to teach in a context of its religion. This is, after all, a Catholic school. If you didn't want to go to a Catholic school, you know, you probably don't want to be going to Bishop Watterson or any other school that characterizes itself as Catholic. The city of Columbus can't keep the Catholic Church or the Evangelical Church or the Orthodox Jews or the Mormons or anyone else from teaching their faith in the context of educating kids. I suppose the modern notion of education since Dewey, you know, in the early 1900s, is that it's imparting facts and information. Well, you know, a computer can do that. We have teachers because there's more to the process of forming children than just having them memorize abstract, disembodied facts. And in the context of a Catholic school, in order to maintain that Catholic identity, we could have I don't represent anybody involved in this case. I don't represent the bishop or the diocese, but the school could have required that every single person be a practicing Catholic. They're not doing that. They're ecumenical enough to say, look, we'll let people who are not Catholic be teachers as long as they agree to be good examples of moral behavior as the Catholic Church understands it to the students that we're trying to form in that ethos and that we're telling people that we're going to form in that ethos.
Mark Spindleman?
Yeah, so I think that there's something really important that Don said in answer to one of your questions, which is to recognize that the firing of Ms. Hale really is, notwithstanding the description of it as being about the relationship, is centrally about her sexual orientation. That is, that there's something in particular about the same-sexness of the relationship that marks it as distinctive here and subject to employment action, negative adverse employment action, adverse employment action just the same.
I partially agree and partially disagree. Obviously, the Catholic Church distinguishes sexual orientation from sexual conduct, and I don't think there's any evidence whatsoever that a chaste homosexual would be subject to job action. In fact, the Catechism and I believe the bishop's statements are quite to the contrary. But if you mean by your term sexual orientation what the Catholics would call acting upon that. Certainly, the Catholic Church believes that all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman, whether it's by a heterosexual or homosexual, is contrary to the good that God wants for us in terms of how we use our sexuality.
Yeah, I would just say, I would say that on this, I think we may be in agreement, sort of, although the choice of language matters here, but using your language, she was terminated on this view because she was an unchaste homosexual.
She was terminated because she was unchaste. Whether she was a homosexual or heterosexual, I don't think would have made a difference.
An email from George with a question for Mark Spindleman. George asks, wasn't the constitutional question settled by the Supreme Court when they ruled that the Boy Scouts could refuse homosexuals because they are a private organization?
Maybe, but there's another case decided more recently than that. That raises the question of the scope of this this religious ministerial exception that I was talking about before and that Don was just mentioning a minute ago. And so it's not at all obvious that the scope of the church's view about the obligation of all of their teachers to submit to the morality of the Catholic Church is, in fact, the boundary of the legal anti-discrimination rule. In other words, although the church's view may well be that it gets to determine what's moral or immoral for all of its teachers, the fact that she's a phys ed teacher and is not teaching religion may be quite relevant to the scope of her legal rights to non-discrimination.
Yeah, I disagree with that, and I think it's somewhat misleading to use the ministerial exception of Hosanna Tabor since we have two Sixth Circuit cases that decided in the 90s that decided without even referring to the ministerial exception that a equally applied chastity rule that applies to men and women equally could be enforced by both, in one case, Catholic, in one case, a non-Catholic school. Now, you know, that depends, of course, upon the facts whether or not it is equally enforced, but you know, that doesn't require to go through the Hosanna Tabor case, and I understand that the exact scope of the Hosanna Tabor case, U.S. Supreme Court case that talked about the ministerial exception recently decided, is a matter of some debate. I think that it is debatable, not certain that it would not apply here. But I don't think you necessarily even have to go there, since there are some other cases that didn't rely upon it that come to the same conclusion.
An email from Gloria, and I'm going to direct this to you, Don Bry. She says, if the Catholic Church is so interested in morality, then they need to revisit their acceptance of divorced Catholics, Catholics who use any form of birth control and any form of fertility manipulation, such as in vitro.
Well, actually, there are three different things there. Mm-hmm. There is no divorce is not a sin. Getting remarried while you are still married to somebody else is a sin. And in the Catholic Church, if you have a real marriage, you can't get divorced. There are people who've been divorced and had their first marriages and all because for some reason was found not to be a true marriage, and you can argue about whether that's a good idea or a bad idea. But let's set divorce aside.
Okay.
The Catholic Church has always said that in vitro fertilization is a grave and evil matter. As a matter of fact, there is a case currently pending, I believe in Cincinnati, where a teacher was fired for doing in vitro fertilization. Sterilization, or not, you know, in
fertilization, right?
Fertilization, mm-hmm. Yeah, IV fertilization, and so that is not an abstract issue of saying, well, if you say this is bad, you should say something else is bad. Well, you know, it's not so much that the church is saying what is bad; it's that the church has a vision of what marriage can and should be, and how sexuality can and should be used. And it's not just for the benefit of adults; it is for the benefit of the child who has a right to have. Come into being through the love of a father and a mother who are in a permanent union with each other and have biological connections to both of them. And so you're right that contraception and IV fertilization are also likewise taught by the church as contrary to the true good of even those who are involved in them. But I think that, you know, it's an odd question to say. If you teach one thing that you do teach, you should also be teaching some other things that you do teach. Well, they church teach all of that, so I'm not sure what is motivating that question, except perhaps the teaching is not as fully understood as it ought to be.
Okay, going to squeeze in a few calls here. Don from Cincinnati, you're on the air. You support the church in this matter.
Yeah, it's not. Thank you for taking my call. It's not a matter of homosexuality, and I believe the most august school teacher from Moritz College said he had no knowledge of any previous immorality decisions about people who were dealt with by the Catholic Church. And we have the preachers all over the place that fathers that have had immoral sex with youth, and so that's one point that he missed. Mr. Bray has done a fairly good job of pointing out that this has nothing to do with homosexuality at all. It has to do with immorality and just people living together, whether it's man and a woman, woman and a woman, or a preacher and a choir boy having sex is immoral. And this point seems to be lost on the most august professor from Moritz College.
All right. Don, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Chris in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I would say that I see just the opposite side of the previous caller, and that is I look back at church history, and they have supported men and women living together in community to support one another spiritually, morally, emotionally, sharing household duties. And they've raised that to sisterhood and brotherhood, and they see the joy in that. So that they have singled out this one relationship of a life partner, spoken about in an obituary where this person is being acknowledged as being part of a loving family, to me is the height of hypocrisy.
Don Bry, it is the chasteness issue, right?
Yes, obviously there have been sisters and brothers, there still are, who live together in chastity. It's not, we don't, you know, there's no issue about who she lives with. But the question is you know, identifying that person, someone with whom she regularly has sex, outside of a covenant of a marriage, as you know, as the Catholic Church understands, God has defined. I mean, people have been getting married for a long time. And marriage has a form and a shape of its own that no human institution can create or destroy, although we can support it or attack it, as the case may be.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Chris, for that call. We're just about running out of time. All three of my remaining calls are pro-teacher. I'll take one more of those, and then we'll have to let it be. Ed from Baltimore, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, on the one hand, Jesus did say divorce was a sin because at one point the one man asked about putting his wife away because she committed adultery, and Jesus said anyone who puts his wife away for any reason is an adulterer. But my problem is the church wants to put up this wall of separation between the church and the state, but then the church wants to turn around and get into politics and sit there and say, well, this is what we believe, so we are going to put our money behind this political legislation, and you can't have it both ways. You're either going to be away from the state or you're going to be in the state, and if you're in the state, you have to abide by the laws. The only way to take care of this on a rational, if absurd basis, would be to only hire Catholic teachers, only teach Catholic children, and not accept any vouchers for anybody that wants to come into there just because they want a better education if they're not okay. Catholic.
Donald Bry, any thoughts about that? And I'm sorry
Peter
to cut him
Paul,
off. Yeah,
when thanks. Peter and Paul were preaching the gospel in the public square, they were arrested and told that it was illegal for them to do that. And their response is, we will obey God rather than men. You know, to suggest that the Catholic Church must disobey the commands, as they understand it, of Jesus Christ to proclaim the gospel to the whole world, and only to speak about that in the context of their own, you know, Amish sort of community where nobody else hears about it, but that once they step out on the street, their religious rights are gone. That's not what the Constitution says. That's not what our history says. That is not tolerance, but that is the type of attack that increasingly people of faith, Catholic and non-Catholic, are experiencing when they run against the demands of an increasingly secularized culture.
Mark Spindleman, did you want to address the last caller? And I, again, apologize for cutting that caller off.
So I think that it's really important to get a handle on the significant legal issues that are involved, including the questions of tolerance that that Don was just describing. But I think that some of the calls, including the last, recognize that the values of tolerance and toleration run not only from how the state tolerates religion, but how religious institutions and religions tolerate the people and the communities that they live with. And I think part of what's interesting about watching the conversation unfold and hearing the different points of view is there's lots of respect for different viewpoints that is happening. But there's a sense that there was some lack of tolerance, some lack of toleration by the church when it decided under these circumstances, tragic personal life circumstances of the passing of Ms. Hale's mother, to use the occasion of this obituary and this passing and this public notice of love and commitment and caring and compassion for one another in that relationship as the basis for firing her. This is clearly part of why this has become such a major issue, not only in Columbus, but across the country, so that you have callers from Baltimore and Cincinnati and across the state calling in to listen to what it is that people have to say about it and to hear Ms. Hale herself.
Don Bry, I want to give you the last word here. We have about a minute left.
Yeah, the freedom of religion doesn't just mean freedom for individuals. It also means freedom for groups, including schools that are affiliated with whatever. If a receptionist for the Stonewall Union wrote a letter to the editor condemning gay marriage, how long do you think she would last? They have a right to define their own understanding of what their mission is, but the Catholic schools do too. You know, tolerance doesn't just mean tolerating people when you agree with them. It also means tolerating people when you don't agree with them. And when we have the kind of response of threats and attempts to blackmail the Catholic Church or saying to get off the public square, that does not strike me as tolerance, even though that's the word that comes out of the lips of many people who are doing it.
Donald Bry, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Donald Bry is a lawyer in Columbus and a board member of Catholics for Ohio. He was talking in support of the church's decision to fire Carla Hale. And also, Mark Spindleman, professor at Moritz College of Law at OSU, thanks for joining us as usual.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.